Crossroad, high above Niagara Falls. Great crowd of people gathered around. The daredevil went up there and he walked back and forth on this tightrope high above the falls, no problems at all. And the people were very impressed. And then the tightrope walker brought up a wheelbarrow. He began pushing this wheelbarrow back and forth over the raging falls. The people were even more impressed. So the daredevil looked down and he said, "Does everyone believe I can push this wheelbarrow back and forth over the falls?" And everyone applauded in agreement. So he looked down and said, "Who then will come up and ride in the wheelbarrow as I push it high above?" It's one thing to know in your head. It's another thing to trust in your heart. And that second can be a lot harder, especially when things look dangerous, challenging, threatening, hard. And our text for today talks about that. Our text is recorded in Matthew chapter 14, and it reads as follows. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side of the lake, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from shore, being beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he, Jesus, came to them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified, and they cried out, "It's a ghost," and they were in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Then Peter answered him, "Lord, since it's you, command me to come toward you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, and he walked in the water, and he came toward Jesus. But when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of Peter, saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got back into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." This happened on the day when Jesus fed the 5,000. That miracle was completed. Jesus dismissed the crowds. And then let his disciples know that he was going to continue his ministry the next day. But he was going to continue it over on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, the western side, the much more populated side. And he wanted them to go on ahead of him to that place because he was going to stay behind for a while and pray. Now the apostles had a couple options. There was a road, a good road, that went all the way around the Sea of Galilee. They could simply take that road and walk all the way around. But that would have taken them all night. And it would have been very dangerous. In the time of Jesus, there were lots of robbers and thieves, and especially they would be active at night along these roads. But there was another option. Several of the apostles were experienced fishermen on this very lake. So perhaps they could just sail across. Only about 7 miles. It would normally be a swift, even less journey. And that's what they did. Perhaps borrowing a boat from one of their fishing friends, they simply set sail for what would normally be a pleasant journey. But even to this day, of Galilee is notorious for sudden, very violent storms. And even to this day, there are several who die Well, the apostles got out to the middle of this lake, and one of those storms suddenly lashed out with all this fury. Now, we have found the wreckage, the remains of fishing boats from the first century. The Sea of Galilee is littered with their remains. We know that these fishing boats barely could stay afloat in good weather. They were not very seaworthy. So they had their hands full. They applied all of their skill, all of their strength, all their experience, just trying to stay alive in the midst of all of this. And the storm went on and on and on, and they were exhausted, and they were filled with fear. And then, from out of nowhere, this figure began to walk toward them on the water. We, of course, know this was Jesus. Jesus walking on the water, because Jesus was also God and God knew that. But the disciples thought this must be some kind of a ghost. And that's how their day was going. They cried out in fear. And Jesus knows that. He knows their fear. He knows their terror. And he doesn't rebuke them. He doesn't condemn them. He doesn't correct them. He simply says, take heart. It's me. There's no reason to be afraid. And it seems at that point, the wind ceases. Waves begin to roll. Both Matthew and John record this event in their gospel books. That's because they were both there. They both experienced this event, and it was a life-changing event. I think it can be for us too. Which is why they both included the story in the gospel books.
Why?
Because storms not only happened in the first century on the Sea of Galilee, they happen here and now too. Sometimes storms happen in the world, sometimes they happen in our hearts and minds. Sometimes they happen suddenly, from out of nowhere, unexpected. Sometimes they happen through no fault of our own. Sometimes they can be big, overwhelming. And sometimes we can be afraid. I think there's a sense in which we can identify with these guys and boats on the Sea of Galilee. I think there's a sense, at least, in which we can say, been there, done that. Maybe for you, it's happening even today. But there's gospel here. Rich, abundant, amazing gospel. Because you see, Jesus comes. Miraculously, Jesus comes, perhaps uninvited, perhaps even unnoticed, but Jesus comes to storms. And he comes not to rebuke, not to correct, not to condemn. He comes to say, take heart. It's me. I'm here. There's no reason for fear. Like the apostles in that boat, our focus can change from fear to peace. Now, in our text, it seems that Jesus made the storm disappear. I think he often still does. I think this happens a lot more often than than we realize. I mean, maybe we're driving along and we see this car that's coming toward us and he's crossing over the yellow line, and perhaps just in our heart we cry out, "Lord, save me!" And then the guy seems to correct himself and get back. And we forget all about it. We have storm. Jesus came and he ended the storm. There's an old ridiculous joke about a man who fell out of a skyscraper, and as he was plummeting toward the ground, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" And just then he caught his pants on a flagpole that protruded from the side of the building. And he looked up and said, "Never mind, God, I'm okay now." I think we do that many times a day. Storm. Jesus comes, even sometimes uninvited, unrequested, unnoticed, and ends the storm. Sometimes our story is just like that of those guys in the book. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes the storm continues. Kind of like Paul was just thorn in the flesh, never went away. My mom, who battled cancer for 25 years, it never went away. But even there, Jesus comes. He may not calm the storm outside, rather he may calm the storm inside. David said, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though the storm continues to rage, I fear nothing. Because you are." Take heart. It's me. Have no fear. And that's the first gospel of our text. Jesus comes. But there's another gospel here too. One almost always missed, but I think maybe it's just as important. Because at that point, Peter speaks up. And Peter says, "Lord, since it's you, command me to walk toward you on the water." Every time I read this text, whether it's from Matthew or John, I'm always struck by this. I always sort of wonder, why in the world did Peter make that request? What was in Peter's heart? What was his motivation? What was he thinking here? Why would he want to do that? I don't know the answer to that question. Nothing in the text remotely hints to it. But in any case, Jesus goes along. And Jesus says, "Come." And the Bible says, so Peter got out of the boat and walked toward Jesus on the water. Don't miss that. A lot of people gloss right over that. Peter, not Jesus, the Son of God incarnate in the flesh, who can do anything. Peter, a sinful bloke, a fisherman by trade, is walking on the water. He is doing absolutely the impossible. Peter, walking on the water. Now, Peter does not walk on the water because Peter is Peter. Peter is walking on the water because Jesus is. Peter is walking on the water not because Peter was better than the average guy or because he had some supernatural spiritual gift or something of that nature. He is walking on the water because Jesus told him to. Jesus is issuing a divine imperative. In the Greek, this statement is as strong as they could get. Come! That's a divine wasn't making a suggestion. He wasn't making a recommendation. He wasn't simply going along with things. He wasn't giving Peter something to think about. He was issuing a divine imperative, a commandment, a demand. Come. Therefore, our text says, therefore, because of that command, Peter gets out of the boat and walks on the water. Peter responding to the call of Jesus. It's not me, Peter. Jesus still calls. He still issues divine imperatives. For example, Jesus says, love. This is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have first loved you, so love one another. It is not a recommendation. It's not a suggestion. It's not something he would like us to think about. He's not suggesting we form a committee to investigate the possibilities here. He's issuing a divine imperative. Love. And therefore, we are to step out of the boat and go walking on the water. You can do immeasurably more than all that you think or imagine or consider possible through Him, through Christ, through Him who commands you, strengthens. Jesus says, go. Make disciples of all people, baptizing them and teaching them. It's not a suggestion. It's not a recommendation. It's not something He wants us to think about or study or discuss. It's something we are to do and do now because it's a command. And the one who commands it is the one who empowers it. Take your legs out of the boat and step onto the water. Yes, it's scary. Yes, it's new. Yes, it's dangerous. But you're not doing it. You are being empowered by the one who commands. There's great gospel there. Great gospel there. Of course, here's the thing everyone remembers. Here's the thing that is the issue of almost every sermon on this text. Peter sinks. It all begins to fall apart. And Peter gets that old sinking feeling, and Jesus has to save him. Well, Peter loses his focus. Instead of focusing on the Lord, he's focusing on the wind. Instead of saying, Jesus can, he's saying, I can't. Instead of focusing on the command, he focuses on the problems. And with that shift comes that old sinking feeling. I think here too, been there, done that. Maybe it's Sunday morning and we're in church and the topic of the day is God's providence and how God takes care of all of our needs and we celebrate that and we believe that and we sing about that and we pray about that and we thank God for that. It's all sincere. We mean every single word. And then it's Monday and we go out to the mailbox and there's a great big bill we weren't expecting. And we say, oh no, how am I going to survive? Often it takes a lot less. Pretty small thing that causes us to lose our focus, to misplace our faith, to look in the mirror instead of looking to the cross, to look to ourselves instead of looking to the Lord. But even here, there is gospel. There is rich, wonderful gospel. The text says, so Peter cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus reaches out his hand and saves him. Even when we blow up, He's there with his big heart. He's there with his big hand. Not to slap us down, but to fish us out, pick us up, restore us for another day.
Beautiful word of the gospel this morning. As like those apostles, we too can find ourselves in the midst of a storm. And Jesus comes to storms, even uninvited, even unrequested, even unnoticed. And he comes not to rebuke, not to condemn. He comes to say, take heart. I'm here. Peace. Jesus may calm the storm outside. I think he does it dozens of times a day. He may just calm the storm inside. But either way, Jesus calms. And like the apostles discovered, when Jesus calls, amazing things can happen. Even miraculous things can happen. Even in the midst of scary stuff, amazing things can happen. Not because we are weak. And when we fall, and we often do, Jesus again is there. With his very big heart, his very big hand, fishing us out, putting us back, and saying, let's try this.